listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously. Hosted by, I'd be lost without him, he is the Down Under Highs professor of pop, David Lim, and me. I'm so predictable, but I don't care, Joel Babington. Hello, David. How are you doing?
JB, I feel like I'm in the middle of a very feral 24, 48 hours. I've had a lot to drink last night, enjoyed myself. Brilliant. I'm back on the wine now with you.
Me too.
Cheers, darling. And after this, I'm going for our friend Adam's birthday dinner. Happy birthday, Adam.
Happy birthday, Adam. Yes, I've already messaged him saying, sorry, I'm not coming. I'm being boring this weekend. I'm going to stay home because JB's going back to NYC, ladies, gents and non-binary friends.
Back by popular demand, added tour dates, extended American leg.
So I'm keeping it low key before I leave the country because I know what you boys are like. I'll be have a 5-day hangover.
It's going to be severe. So yeah, I feel like I need to rein in my feral, chaotic energy, especially for the diva that we're covering today. So check me if I get too feral. But we welcome that energy from time to time.
We welcome it. Go get yourself wet, girl. I know you want to, as Geraldine Estelle would say. I think, David, today we are doing such a, to a lot of our listeners, a longly, highly anticipated and highly requested episode. I'm so excited to do another one of our Aussie faves for both our Aussie listeners, but also our UK and global listeners as well, because this is a global queen.
There's a very vocal few of our listeners in Australia.
And we love that.
We love that. They have been asking us to do Delta for years. One special mention is Cameron Adams.
Hello, Cameron.
I scrolled back, Joel, and I've had messages as far back as November 2020. A reaction to my Insta story, Delta, question mark, October 2021. How's that Delta episode going, Limmy? January 2022, a reply to something. Could this be the year of the Delta episode? March 2022, David Lim, Nikki Webster before Delta.
Well, Cameron, if you've gone, I hope you come back. Let's both, just for Delta, let's send it to him directly, both of us. We'll double whammy get you, Cameron. I think it's highly anticipated. It's like a sort of a different, lightly different vibe for us because it isn't pop as a clock all the time. But it is still so, like, you know how we say this era was so prominent? Like, I can still taste 2003 Delta Goodrum, you know. I can still see it on CD UK. It was so prominent here in the UK. It's like goes hand in hand with me starting secondary school. And, you know, just all those moments and musical moments are so vivid in my mind. So it is timeless music for days that I am so excited to get into today.
JB, we are celebrating true Australian pop royalty here today, Delta Lee. Now, I want to ask you, is it a Delta Lee or a Delta Leah Goodrum, do you think? L-E-A.
Oh, now that is a Delta Leah.
Oh, you reckon it's a Leah?
I reckon it's a Leah because no one, I mean, maybe it's an Aussie thing, so do correct me if I'm wrong because I don't know. You wouldn't spell Lee here in the UK, in the United Kingdom, in King Charlie's Great Britain. saying that. And here, you wouldn't spell it that. You'd spell it L-E-E or L-E-I-G-H if you were doing Lee. L-E-A would always be Leah.
Okay, so for the purpose of this podcast, she's Delta Leah. Deltoids, tell us if we're wrong. I don't know what Delta
Absolutely.
Fans are called.
And, but and you will tell us if we're wrong.
Yeah, and we're calling you guys Deltoids for now, until we come up with another name for the fandom. Yeah.
Tell us what else you are called.
So yeah, Delta Leah Goodrum is a singer-songwriter, actress, and Aussie national treasure, one of Australia's most successful female artists of all time. She has sold over 9 million albums worldwide, scored 9 number one singles. 6 of those were back-to-back number ones, and in total, 22 top 20 singles. Delta started out in showbiz quite young. She was starring in commercials from the age of 7-ish. She actually did a toy commercial with your fave, Beck Cartwright, back in the day.
She was all booked up.
By the time Delta was 13, she already had a demo made, which she paid for from money that she got from her TV work. The demo ended up with the late Glenn Wheatley, RIP, a legendary music manager and promoter in Australia, best known for working with John Farnham. He signed Delta to a development deal with an indie label. And between 99 and 2000, Delta had co-written a whole album of teen pop style bops, said to be inspired by Britney and the Spice Girls.
And Mandy Moore.
Amanda Lee. Now that is a Lee.
Now that is a Lee.
This is a Lee-ah.
Now that album we need to leak, David. It hasn't leaked yet at all, but we need it. There is one song from this era online, Say, a very sort of home, low-budget style music video. Unfortunately, the song is quite a boring demo. It isn't like a fun teen pop, or it's not like a great teen pop ballad either. Obviously, Delta's fab, but the look of Delta in this music video gives a very young Delta, gives a similar vibe to that very early Britney in the Max Martin sessions. That sort of like, not like super blonde yet, sort of like a natural dark blonde kind of style. So yeah, some synergy going on there.
Love to see it. So at 15, Delta signed a deal with Sony and began work on her debut album. She released her debut single, I Don't Care, in 2001, which we'll get into later. For a lot of us senior millennials and older, Delta first came into our radar through Neighbours, where she played Nina Tucker, which was first introduced to us in 2002. Nina's a shy schoolgirl who didn't have the courage to perform her songs in public. Very, you know, that Coyote Ugly kind of character.
Yeah.
Without the sexiness and without Tyra Banks dancing on a bar top. What a shame. We would have loved to see that on Neighbours, wouldn't we?
We'd love to have seen that on Neighbours. Tyra Down Under to promote her album. That would have been fab.
Neighbours was the perfect launch pad for Delta, and she springboards straight into her debut album era from Erinsborough. And this month is 20 years of Delta Goodrum's iconic debut album, Innocent Eyes, which makes it the real perfect time for us to dive in, isn't it, JB?
We were briefly talking about this the other day. I know to us, she is technically a pop star first. She did a single that we love before Neighbours. But to most of the world, she is soap to pop. Do you think she is Neighbours and Australia's last big soap to pop star? You know I am Stephanie McIntosh's number one fan.
I know you love her.
But in terms of, you know, this global phenomenon success, do you think Delta is the last to date soap to pop from Australia, big deal? I think so.
I mean, in terms of big household names, we've had Margot Robbie, but in terms of the music side, it's got to be Delta, yeah.
Yeah, unless, you know, maybe she drops a couple of songs on the Barbie soundtrack. We'll wait and see.
So speaking of the UK, Delta is bringing her Hearts on the Run tour to Europe in April. JB, we are so excited. We are both going to see her.
Oh, I can't wait.
At Shepherd's Bush Empire on 30th of April. I've never ever seen Delta live before, so this is going to be a real treat.
I've never seen Delta live before. Like, not in my wildest dreams did I think this would happen. So I can't wait. And if any of you guys are there, please do come and say hello. Let's all go and celebrate and enjoy Delta together. If you aren't already, go and book your tickets for this Delta European tour. You know, we need her to know that the demand is here for her to keep coming back to our shores.
And if she does, I don't care. I think the JB and I will just have a heart attack.
I will be on the other realm if she does. I don't care. It will be literally, imagine if we get to the front, it will be 2 hours of any time there's a silence, just me and you going, sing I Don't Care!
She has performed it a couple of times in recent years, but
yes,
you know, for a long time, I Don't Care was sort of swept under the rug. And we can get into it because, you know, there was no way the JB and I were going to do this episode, even though it technically is an Innocent Eyes episode. We got to start with I Don't Care.
We got to start with Where It Counts. So this is November 2001, David. A song that I didn't know for years until you introduced me to it. This is Delta's actual debut single. I feel the passion and the fire ignite me. Whoa! This isn't Delta Goodrum as everyone knows and loves her for the last 20 years. This is teen pop superstar Delta Goodrum arriving on the scene. Now, a lot of people would say, oh, it's Britney-esque, but it isn't. This is Australia's answer to Amanda Lee Moore. Teen pop Mandy Moore, this is the Australian answer.
So I actually remember this single in real time. This was my introduction to Delta.
Wow.
I remember reading about it in Smash Hits. It was quite exciting because it was like, oh, Australia's got a new pop star. And obviously, sonically, this is right up my street. So I was very excited from the get-go. Delta said, fresh from her signing her deal with Sony, she said, you know, when you start with a record company, you don't really know what the whole process is. You don't know how the whole military operation is before a song even gets to radio, before people get to hear it. So she kind of felt like she was sort of nudged into this more Britney, Mandy-ish direction. And, you know, this isn't a song that she wrote. It actually is a cover. There's a girlie in the US that released it first, Angela Villa. So she released her version the year before.
My question is, Angela Villa, do we need to find her? Are we going to stan? This song was, although yes, a cover, unfortunately, it wasn't a huge hit for our girl, Angela Villa. So it really is a priority act pop song. The caliber of this song, written by David Frank, Steve Kipner and Pamela Shane. The three of them together, David, wrote Dreams He Loves You Not and Christina's Genie in a Bottle.
Iconic.
Steve Kipner, in his own work, has written Olivia's Physical, Kelly Rowland's Stole, Cheryl Cole's Fight for This Love, and
Not Such an Innocent Girl.
The VB's Not Such an Innocent Girl. Again, in an alternate timeline, we'd be saying Willa Ford's Not Such an Innocent Girl.
Got a secret rose tattoo.
I'm dying just to show you. Our girl Pamela David has written on Billy She Wants You and Jessica Ann Simpson's Irresistible.
Wow, this is top tier. The Down Under Tommy Mottola got on the phone and be like, cough up the backing track, Angela girl. We're releasing it here and we're going to do much better with it.
You remember this song being released in Australia?
I remember seeing the music video. It was so exciting. You know, Delta, very girl next door vibes.
Delta Goodrum escaping from her parents' house to be with her rebellious boyfriend. That father shot where she's pushing him off is very memeable. I think we need to do something with that. Maybe like me logging off at work on a Friday. Bam. And she's going to be with this rebellious boyfriend. Now, we know he's rebellious because he's got a motorcycle.
And he's got a leather jacket. Bad boy.
AKA, sign me right up. And then they go into the forest. Sometimes she's singing in the forest on her own. It's a little bit Steps One for Sorrow. It's more Steps One for Sorrow than it is horror film forest.
A cheerful forest.
And there's scenes with the blindfold, but it's very romantic. It's not 50 Shades. Also, we have scenes intercut of Delta Goodrum dancing with, it says online, Christmas lights. I wouldn't say they're specifically Christmas lights. It's just, you know, sort of outdoor light-filled backdrop.
Yeah, you know, $24.99 from Bunnings Warehouse, yeah.
I actually have lights on my balcony. I don't know if you recall any time when you've been here in the evening.
I do recall. They're Delta-esque.
They, every time I think of this music video, every time I look at the, I'm like,
when you're in a balcony having a twirl.
Yeah, I don't care. That literally, because you know, my balcony is like in the round of all the other flats in the garden. So it's me performing in the JB Stadium. I don't care.
What I would pay to be the neighbour across the block. Love it.
But yeah, I mean, this, David, is honestly one of the best songs ever. I have to thank you for introducing it to me. Like, it has been on repeat and it wasn't even on Spotify when you told me about
it, Davo. This was only added in recent years, wasn't it?
It was a bit like in the prelude to the 20th anniversary, Delta kind of re-accepted it into her discography. She did a really fun video for the 20th anniversary, kind of recreating scenes from the music video. And she got it back on streaming. She sung it as part of like one of her little lockdown concerts filmed from her living room. So it was really wonderful to see it kind of acknowledged again. I think it all tied up nicely as well, where she had done not too long ago before that, the Olivia biopic and then the Olivia album to tie in with that. So she was saying, well, you know, even before Born to Try, I had I Don't Care, written by Steve Kippner, who did Olivia's physical.
It's like she's embracing it now, because for so many years, this was just ignored. You know, they were telling everyone that Born to Try is her debut single, which, you know, you and I are very quick to correct people on that whenever we hear it, even though they can't hear us and we're watching the interview online. We're like, I'm going to stop you right there. Hashtag justice for I Don't Care.
It's so interesting, isn't it? Because it really was, as you're saying, like, unwritten from the history books. But there are the odd moments when she was releasing Born to Try at the end of 2002. There's a performance where she did a medley of Born to Try and I Don't Care.
But this single, as we said, sadly didn't do very well in Australia. It peaked at number 64. But if you were to go on Discogs now, it is incredibly rare.
You should have bought it at the time, David.
Listen, mate, I should have. Someone is flogging it for £180, including shipping.
They're not anymore because I just bought it.
Oh.
What do you think is the reason why this didn't pop off?
I think it was just the fact that there were so many other songs that were similar to it from American artists. And it was sort of, I don't know, I think the general feeling was kind of like, you're trying too hard to emulate American pop stars. And I think sometimes Aussie listeners can be a bit snobby about that kind of stuff. It's like, it has to be good, but it can't be like, you know, reeking of trying to be American. Like, there's nothing Aussies hate more than that kind of try-hardness.
So at this time, it made Sony re-look at the strategy for teen pop superstar Delta Goodrum. And the proposed second single, David, a year ago today, was pushed aside as a result of that, while they were refiguring things out. Now, to skip ahead slightly a little bit, a year ago today does end up on the album where I Don't Care doesn't. And I'm actually really glad that didn't end up being her second single. You know, I think a year ago today doesn't match either the brilliance of teen pop I Don't Care or the brilliance of, like, piano ballad, adult contemporary, Born to Try, Innocent Eyes, Delta. I think it would have been dead on arrival, whereas what we got, like, I Don't Care is an 11 out of 10. Everything else we're going to see is an 11 out of 10. And that, I think, would have been a solid 6 at best. Another year gone by. Oh. There was a music video, though, for a year ago today, very interestingly.
Yeah, you sent that to me. I had never seen this. And I think anyone that bought the Delta DVD that came out after this album would have seen it. But
They quietly put it out on this Delta DVD. So thank you for pointing me in the direction of that, because I found this video and I sent it to David and I was just like, what? I'm guessing they filmed it at some point.
Yeah. But it was sort of like behind the scenes of, like, photo shoots and stuff. And you can tell by her hair that this was in the I Don't Care era. It was like 2001. But she is, like, lip syncing the words through. So there was some, she was intending this to be a video, I guess, at some point, because she's performing it.
I think that worked out for the best that it wasn't released.
But it was nice to have on the album as a sort of towards the closing of it, because it's a very pensive song, isn't it? Like, it's yearning, it's brooding. I like some parts of this song. I think actually Adele could cover this and it would be a fucking smash. Yeah.
So Sony decided to relook what's going on and a big door opened, didn't it, David?
Yes. So as part of the recalibration of Delta Goodrum, so to speak, she joins Neighbours in 2002. Now, at the time, I remember seeing this move and I thought, okay, good for her, because we've had plenty of soap stars to pop stars.
Because the general vibe, though, correct me if I'm wrong, did it feel like they were just trying to be like, this is Delta Goodrum, as opposed to this is the girl from I Don't Care's now joined Neighbours?
I don't know. I mean, it was kind of part of the press that she had released a single. So it's not like they were trying to hide from that. Okay. It was kind of, this is a great opportunity for her. And I'm sure as part of the narrative is that Delta's going to keep working on music. And obviously her character is a musician, so it feels very close to the brand, if you know what I mean. So this was the beginning of kind of singer-songwriterly Delta.
It was such a genius move because she's playing kind of, you know, shy but extremely talented Nina Tucker. We are fed this narrative of this girl, beautiful singer-songwriter, sitting at the piano. We were told this is this artist. And what a way to do it. You know, at this time, Neighbours is so popular in the UK, popular in Australia, like a perfect peak way.
So was this your first introduction to Delta through Nina Tucker?
Yeah. And I loved this little girl that, you know, sung, you know, in the cafe singing her song. She's in her bedroom singing Innocent Eyes, like even that much later down. So we have Born to Try as like the soft launch on it, but then they even get stuff like Innocent Eyes on there. I'm like, that's smart.
Yeah, because even after she launched with Born to Try, she was still on Neighbours.
So important. So shall we move forward, Devo, to 2002? November 2002, literally a star is born with her beautiful faux debut.
Born to Try. Oh my God. So this was actually released almost a year to the very day that I Don't Care came out. This is an inspirational piano ballad vibes. I knew she was a Neighbour, so I didn't expect her to come back with a ballad, but this was undeniable. From the very first listen, you could just tell, like, this is going to be a classic. Now, this was written by Delta and Audius, and it was written in Delta's home in Sydney. It was the last song written on the day. Her mum made them lunch. She said she'd already written 3 or 4 songs early in the day. They stopped for lunch, played a bit of basketball, then decided, oh, should we write one more? And that one more song was Born to Try.
It was the one.
Audius at the time was known for producing most of Selwyn's album. Aussie millennials will remember Selwyn as sort of our local pop R&B guy, sort of like a young Usher, young Craig David kind of vibes. So it was an interesting pairing to see Delta and Audius come together. But this is so like classic piano pop ballad. It was just
absolutely
incredible. So after doing this song, Audius goes on to work with a lot of Aussie Idol stars, including our young divas, Paulini, Jessica Mauboy. Born to Try was produced by Rick Wake, a big American producer who's worked with Celine, Whitney, Mariah. So you can tell that like Sony saw the potential in this song and was like, let's bring in the big guns. Let's make sure this sounds incredible.
Wow. And that's so interesting that you say that because there's such a Celine quality to Delta's voice, isn't there?
And it actually gets more classic and more formidable the older Delta gets. Like her voice is beautiful on this album, but like listening to Delta's voice now in recent years, it's even better. Her vocals are just like my favorite Delta album is actually the Delta album in 2007, because I think that's when her voice really matured.
So let's talk about this music video, David. To me, right, this music video gives Aussie girl doing Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman meets 1,000 Miles to classics with a touch of Anastasia.
Oh, Anastasia?
Because of that bit where she's stood on like sort of the street and the lights.
Yeah. Very Left Outside Alone.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and also like a little bit To Become One as well.
Yes, very To Become One-esque. Now this music video was filmed in Helsinki, Finland, and it was directed by Mika Lomi, who did Put the Needle on It.
Fantastic.
For our Danielle Jane. Delta in a velvet blazer, jeans and a nice top, singing in front of a lake, singing alone on a balcony overlooking the city. Also, she has like that one outfit for all the different location shots.
Consistency.
So it's giving you kind of like 24 hours with Delta.
So this in Australia, David, was a number one smash hit.
Absolutely incredible. In Australia, it debuted at number three and then it climbed to number one and stayed on the charts for 22 weeks, which is incredible.
Here in the UK, number three, it was absolutely huge. That's the power of Neighbours at the time. And of course, Delta.
Very interesting. The week that Born to Try charter debuted in the UK, it was one of six new entries in the top 10. So that was a hectic week. Number one was Gareth Gates, Spirit in the Sky. Number two, wow. Our Jennifer Lynn Lopez, All I Have. And number three was Our Delta. And then behind her, 50 Cent in the Club.
Scotland, it was a Scottish number two hit. Well done, Scotland. You've redeemed yourself. New Zealand, number one. And Ireland, 13. In the year-end charts in Australia, David, it was your seventh best-selling song of 2002. And here in 2003, it was our 41st best-selling song in the UK. Four times platinum in Australia, gold here in the UK, gold in New Zealand, and silver here in the UK.
I think what we're going to see with Delta in this era is that the UK gets it about 3 months after. Do you think that was sort of timed with when the Neighbours episode aired? Just so you guys already warmed up to Born to Try. And then she comes over, does a bit of promo, Top of the Pops and all that.
Yeah, which is good because then at that time, it gives her time to promote in Australia.
And then come over and do her thing.
Time to come here.
So there was a US version, a US mix, if you will, of Born to Try, which you can hear on streaming now, I believe. Now, this one has more of a fuller adult contemporary production, more of the band, you know, bringing out the soft rock guitars and stuff rather than just relying more on the classic piano ballad stuff. So we're going to see a couple of these songs do get a US mix. And it's, I think it's interesting, JB, that, you know, how they were positioning Delta for the US market.
Absolutely. And I mean, it really does make sense. All this adult contemporary sound really can be huge in America.
They love a bit of that.
Born to Try, I think, to me, seemed like the most subtle in terms of US remix. It kind of just seemed like there was more instruments on it, or they were at least louder. But speaking of US releases, let's move on to the next single for Delta, March 2003's Lost Without You. Written by Matthew Gerrard and Bridget Benenate. Now, as a duo, these people have written, these two have written What Are You Waiting For both Lindsay Lohan and Bardot's Tiffany Wood.
Yes.
And they wrote Kelly Clarkson's Breakaway with Avril Lavigne. Then Matthew, in his own right, also wrote on Hilary Duff's Why Not and also songs for Hannah Montana, High School Musical and The Cheetah Girls. So what bloody caliber to have on this song.
Now, JB, this song, Lost Without You, is a classic. I would probably go as far as saying this is my favorite Delta song of all time.
I love this song, and I would say that I love this song more than Born to Try. It's not my favourite of the album.
Okay.
We'll get there later, but I love it more than Born to Try, yeah.
Now, this is Delta's most streamed song on Spotify. It has over 20 million streams. I would say between this one and I Can't Break It to My Heart from the 2007 Delta album, like, these two are just classic Delta songs to me that I just will never get tired of. She shot two music videos for this. There's the main version that we all know, and then there was a US version, which we can get to later. But the main version was shot in South London, in Roehampton.
Well, I think we need to just pop down there and get a little recreation going.
And obviously, you know, it's giving old English manor vibes. very perfect for a moody song like this. It was directed by Katie Bell, who also directed Rachel Stevens' Funky Dory. I love the opening shot where she comes into the room, turns on the lamp, kicks off her heels after a house party, and starts playing a bit of piano. It's the perfect way to just decompress, wind down after a very social night. We all know what that's like, where you just want a little bit of me time. Everyone's left the flat now, thank God. Just want a bit of moment. You're not putting stuff in a dishwasher. You just need a moment by the piano to just get your thoughts out.
And boy, did she do it. I love this music video. It's given elements of, like, even if it is a house, parts of it feel like classy, elegant hotel. And then there's some lovely shots of Delta on the stairs. And if you know anything about me, it's like, I love when stairs are used well in pop music. So then while we're talking about music videos, shall we talk about the American music video quickly?
I'm so intrigued by this US mix of Lost Without You, because this was Delta's debut single there, and it came out in June 2005. So it was like quite a few years later. So I imagine that was probably when she did this video. Sonically, it's got more guitars. Again, they love a bit of guitars. They really want to turn that up. It's got big live rock drums, actually different vocals.
Yeah.
But the adult contemporary vibes is strong with this one.
And the track and the music video give like a bit more dramatique. It just is a little bit in your face. It really could have been like a really big glitzy film moment. Maybe if they had paired like a big American film to go with Delta's US launch. Keeping in terms of, you know, Olivia was already hugely famous, but doing Grease with an Australian accent, even though it was meant to be an American character, was a huge moment for her. Like, they could have done something like that, and this could have been, like, the song to go with it. So we've got, it's filmed in California. It's mainly black and white. You're on the beach. Delta Goodrum's playing the piano. Is she playing the piano in the water?
She's playing the piano on the beach, in the water, something like that. A very sexy male model plays her love interest in it. He's there with his shirt off. They're just having a lovely time. I mean, it's kind of giving the Hallmark version of Paris Hilton's Stars Are Blind.
An expensive Hallmark version.
Yeah, like big budget. To be fair, this was June 2005, so she probably looked more mature and sexier, more grown up. It just didn't make sense to use that video, the original Lost Without You video, where she was very much a teenager. You know, you've got those shots of her in the bedroom with her girlfriends gossiping, reading magazines. Like,
because God forbid, we'd never do that now.
You and me. Wine, a little bit of music video from YouTube on the telly, gossiping. That would be our scene in the music video.
Yeah, exactly. And that can work for 18, 20, 30, 30, whatever, can work.
And don't reveal my age, yes.
So around the US release as well, she did perform it at the 2005 World Music Awards.
Wow.
Now, this featured Delta at the piano. Candles everywhere on stage.
Oh, the insurance for that must be astonishing.
It was absolutely stunning, but I'm just saying, do not try that at home, all right? Just avoid candles. Now, speaking of notable performances, David, there was a very notable cover at the ARIA Awards in 2003, wasn't there?
There was. It was a big year at the ARIAs for Delta, and Darren Hayes does a stripped back piano performance of this song, and I still like actually well up with tears when I watch this. Like, it's just, it hits me the same way every single time. It brings a tear to my eye. It's just, obviously Darren Hayes is like one of Australia's best male vocalists ever, and just to hear him interpret this song is just so, it rips my heart out. It just rips my heart out. I love this song so much.
Absolutely beautiful and heartbreaking, but thank God Delta is where she is now and being on absolutely killing it. So this song in Australia, David, knocked Kagi Aggie's Beautiful off the top spot.
The original Kent Gurley. If you've been listening to our past episodes, you know what we're talking about.
Exactly. And then it was knocked off the number one spot by All the Things She Said by Tattoo.
What a time to be alive. And then hashtag gay rights.
Hashtag gay rights, literally from All Acts. Surprisingly least from Tattoo. And then Delta knocked them back off and went back to number one. Before we talk about charts specifically, we've got more B-sides here. We have In My Own Time again on some versions. I think it was on the UK edition of the last single, and then it's on the Australian edition of this single. And then the other B-side that we have is Hear Me Calling. This song's very interesting. It's a little bit like Delta of this era meets All Saints Pure Shores. Love that exclusivity for the European market.
You know, they probably thought, yeah, Pure Shores, All Saints, them girlies in the UK and Europe are going to get this, so...
Yeah, get that on there, Delta. Delta, we know you love it. We've got just the market for you. Ireland, 15. New Zealand, number 4. Scotland, number 4. UK, number 4. The US version, US Adult Contemporary Billboard Charts, number 18. That is very impressive. Not everybody has that. 2x platinum in Australia and 85,000 units shipped here in the UK. So, Davo, let's stay in March 2023. No, let's stay in March 2003. And we have Delta Goodrum's debut album, Innocent Eyes.
I bought this album quite late into the album cycle, actually, because you know what I'm like. I want to get...
We know.
I wanted Delta to show me that there were hits on this album first.
And boy, did she.
And so I really held out on buying this album until very late into the cycle, once she's already had like multiple number one singles. I was like, oh, go on then. I'll get this one. Now, JB, let's talk about the artwork first. We got to start there. This is a very classic, pure, it's giving kind of folky chanteuse, sort of Taylor Swift-esque, would you say?
The original T-Swift. Yeah, the original T-Swift. It is giving... It really is a meeting of all the markets. Like, it's giving accessible for the teens and the kids, but also the mums and dads.
The churchgoers. Everyone can get behind this. Yeah. Get you a girl that can do all that. I love that the jewelry is very natural, very bohemian style, very simple. The blues in the earrings bring out Delta's eyes. Delta co-wrote the majority of this album, but we've got some top-notch writers.
Right back at your faves here. Kathy Dennis, S Club 7, Britney's Toxic, Kylie, Rachel Stevens, Sweet James by LAX, the Kathy Dennis. We have Elliot Kennedy, Spice Girls, Hat Low. And then we have my fave, Cara Diaguardi here. Now, that is a pop rock angel, Hillary.
Yes, Kelly Clarkson, Avril.
Also, in the wider music world, Uncle Gary Barlow. Now, Davo, we should have had a bottle of Gary's wine for this episode. We should have.
I'm actually very astonished, looking back, to see how many Gary Barlow co-writes and co-productions there are on this album. Because you don't necessarily think of Gary Barlow and Delta Goodrum. In fact, I struggle to come up with an image where both of them have been pictured together.
Yeah.
But he's got such a hand in making this album and thus the success. Like, I bet all our fucking sales in Australia paid for the vineyards or whatever in Gary's organic wines. Like,
this album was huge and it felt like our pop girl moment accessible version of sort of like Jamie Cullum and Norah Jones in a way. Like, this was our pop girl version. Do you know what I mean?
And you think about biggest selling albums of all time in Australia by female artists. You got Shania Twain, Come On Over, obviously, because that album is big everywhere. And then you got Delta. They reckon approximately one in every 20 Australians own a copy of this album. Every household must have a copy somewhere still.
And if you listen really carefully and you put your ear to the ground, you will hear someone in Perth listening to it right now, or maybe Brisbane. We're going to get into the album now, but for the 10th anniversary, Delta released an acoustic version of the entire album.
She must have sung these songs so much over the years that she's probably like, let me switch it up, like, please.
You know what I'm like, I don't need an acoustic version of anything, but it is the power of this album.
It's also because her voice sounds so strong and it's matured and the tone is beautiful 10 years on, that I was like, yeah, hell yeah, I would hear a whole new version of this album with your voice now. Yes, please. Yeah.
So, Davo, do you want to kick us off and give us a favorite track from this album?
Okay. This is going to be very obvious for any Delta fans, any Deltoids, any Aussie millennials to pick this album track. But we're going with Butterfly.
Oh, yes.
A gorgeous springtime feeling pop mid-tempo with a really big flourishing chorus written by our friend Uncle Gazza, Gary Barlow, Elliot Kennedy of the Spice Girls fame. Now, there was rumours that perhaps this was going to be the sixth and final single.
Wow.
But I might be getting it confused with another album track, Throw It Away. Either or, I feel like this was mentioned a lot.
Oh, it is absolutely beautiful. You're My Butterfly. You know, it is the cease and desist from Mariah Carey pending. Absolutely stunning. What an absolutely gorgeous track. Now, you just mentioned it now, but a standout for me is Throw It Away. This has the big hitters on it.
I knew you were going to pick that one.
Mr. Barlow, Mr. Kennedy, and of course, our queen, Lord and Saviour, Kathy Dennis. Fly, my friend, good things to Superman. Like a child at the wheel of a rocket. He comes round here with a license to love. I don't know where he got it. I trusted you, offered. Now, this track is just a bit of the JB, do you know what I mean?
I can tell, because even in listening back, I was like, ooh. The intro is giving a little Avril Complicated, would you say?
Yeah.
It's got it's that kind of moody vibe, right?
Because they do say this album is like pop rock, but the rock is quite light, but it flexes a bit more in its moments, you know?
Very interesting as well with this one. We're getting guitar pop with a hip hop beat. Dare we say Atomic Kitten's impact?
I wonder if any of these tracks are left from... Well, we know that the one track is left from the earlier sessions a year ago today. Is anything else on here but reworked? We're going to see a B-side later on that was an I Don't Care B-side but reworked. Like, are we going to see that again?
For instance, Innocent Eyes must have been written quite a while back. So I feel like anything with Delta and Vince is from an earlier era. And then obviously all the Gary Barlow stuff feels more current to this time. I also love that this is quite a spicy diss track. If you only know Delta for Born to Try and Lost Without You, you kind of get the sense that she's very like sentimental, emotional, and all that kind of lovely stuff. But this one goes, I trusted you, offered everything, but I'm not sure you deserve it. You wouldn't know what love is if it hit you like a rock. A girl like me is lost on you.
Give it to him. Give it to him. Women independence. What else for you, girl?
Okay, now this one hit me in the research for this episode. I'm going to go with Running Away. Yeah, it kind of sounds like something you'd hear in a rugged Fitzroy rooftop bar, pub. You're having your beers, your chicken parma, And then there's Delta in the corner with her rock band performing this. Like, it's giving pub rock meets pop girly vibes.
And we love
it. Do you get me?
Yeah, and we bloody love it.
Now, this one is written by Gazza, Elliot Kennedy, and Al Delta. For some reason, this skipped past me back in the day, but this chorus is just beautiful. And when I was playing this out loud, when I was researching for this episode, my flatmate, Chris, was like, hang on, is this Sophie Ellis Bextor? It does have a little bit of a Sophie vibe to it, I guess.
Yeah. It was the time, you know. The rest of the album gives you a bit more sort of lights and shades and other tastes, but it is cohesive with the singles as well. It's not like how we just did the J-Lo album and we were like, wow, the singles are really different to the album. If you like the singles, you're not going to be disappointed with the rest of the album.
Also, we're very blessed with this album that it had so many singles. So we got more light and shade.
So if we haven't said your, yeah, if we haven't said your faves, it's because they're singles. Another standout for me is This Is Not Me. And this to me is giving a very, 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 very light Alanis Morissette.
I can hear a bit of Alanis in some of these songs, actually. The angstiness, yeah. It's just like... But, I mean, Delta intended this album as very much like her diary. Teen angst. It totally fits in with the mood and the vibe. It's raw. I think that's why so many people connected with this album, yeah. Because there's a certain kind of earnest quality to the songwriting and the performance of this album that just... It is innocent, obviously, Innocent Eyes, but it's just, there's something very pure and very direct and not super calculated about the delivery, which I really appreciate with this album.
My absolute last one is My Big Mistake. And
I knew you were going to pick that one, actually.
Because yeah. You can probably already hear me saying it. It gives a bit soundtrack, a bit musical theatre, but in a brilliant way.
For me, it gives Dawson's Creek soundtrack quality. Yeah.
But then imagine Dawson's Creek, the musical.
How can something so magic, become so tragic, right before my eyes, two separate lives? I love the chorus for this. It's so like, it's very radio ready, isn't it?
It's Radio Disney ready.
How can something so magic become so tragic? Da 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 da.
It's a shame that they didn't just at this time push this album as is to the American market. I think we didn't need to wait for later stuff. I know stuff was going on with Delta at the time, so she probably physically couldn't. But if it had gone out at the same time as the UK and Australian release, I think it was just ready to push out.
My only thing with this song is that I do wish the production was bigger. So maybe I would have appreciated a US mix of this. Because you know how they like to dial up all the instruments with the US mix. I want to hear more strings. I want the drums to hit harder. I feel like the chorus is so good with this one that it just needed the instrumentation to support it.
Love it. All right, so Davo, this album was a number one smash hit in Australia. The year-end charts in Australia, it was your number one best-selling album of the year. Number 9 on the European Top 100, 15 on the Finnish albums, 39 in France, 20 in Germany, 3 on the Irish album charts. Very interesting that even though the singles were in the 10s and the 20s, number 3 album, absolutely fantastic.
People in Ireland went out for the album,
6 in New Zealand, 12 in Norway, and number 2 here in the United Kingdom. 3 times platinum here in the UK, 3 times platinum in New Zealand, gold in Germany, where it was 20 in Germany, and 15 times platinum in Australia. In the decade-end charts, 2000 to 2009, it was Australia's number one album.
This spent 29 weeks at number one, breaking the record set by John Farnham as the longest charting number one Australian album of all time. This is Australia's best-selling album of the 2000s. It has sold over 4.5 million copies worldwide, over 1.2 million copies in Australia alone. Even 9 months after the release, in December 2003, it was selling 33,000 copies a week.
Franklin's couldn't keep up with the stock.
You don't see that kind of numbers anymore. Like, it's insane.
I'm surprised your dad didn't like this album.
He does. Part of the reason why I bought it was because I feel like it works for the whole family. Like, we could just put it on.
A Lim family crowd pleaser.
Literally, yeah. Because, you know, Brandy's Full Moon album was already very divisive. So we need something calmer.
Gotta get good back in the good books. Fantastic. Well, let's move on to, David, very exciting. Sunday, the 11th of May, 2003, Australia knows the nominations and the nominees. It's the biggest night in the Australian entertainment industry, the Logie Awards, and Delta Leah Goodrum wins Most Popular New Female Talent. And she gave a beautiful thank you speech where she thanked her neighbor's family, her Sony family for being so generous, for sharing her time with neighbors, and to her friends and her family for all her support, and her forum friends on her forum.
I love that. That was so off the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm desperate to know what Delta fans are called. I mean, we can't keep calling them Deltoids, but yeah.
Well, they could be called the Good Rooms, which makes me want to know, David.
The chat rooms, the forums could be Good Room.
David, Liam, did you have a good room? You know, in Kath and Kim, they've got the good room.
I think in one of the first houses we rented, there was.
Wow.
Yeah, that would be. It's very, by the way, I don't know if it is here in the UK, but it's quite common in Australia to have a lounge room, which is the formal one where your guests sit in. And then there's a family room at the back, which is basically a more casual version of that. You're entertaining guests in the front room. You don't need a TV there because you're entertaining. But yeah,
da, 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 da.
The JB comes in. He's the guest performer. That would be what it's like at your place. Any of Wendy's friends comes over. Da, 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 da.
Go on, Jolie.
Da, 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 da. Mine hair.
But now it's over.
The Victoria Beckham version. That would be Lil Jolie performing, yeah. Cabaret.
While getting a drinks trolley out and pouring everyone a vodka diet coke.
Ding, ding, ding goes a trolley.
our life in Essex was not glamorous like that. We just had a regular living room like everyone else, do you know what I mean? With a broken TV and all that jazz that went with it. So, David Liam, she's got, you know, bigger than an Academy Award if you're Australian. She's got a Logie. Let's move to June 2003, Innocent Eyes, the single.
JB, this is a bit dramatic and a bit musical theatre vibes, isn't it?
Oh, this is dramatic.
I think this is a bit of you.
Yes. So we had this. This was also the one that was featured on Neighbours. This is a bit of me. I would say, look, my UK Deltoids, my UK Good Rooms, like, tell me if I'm wrong. Apart from Born to Try, I would say this is the most famous song of this album.
More famous than Lost Without You.
I didn't know Lost Without You, really, until we lived together, or it was reintroduced to me.
Interesting.
Whereas I prominently, I mean, maybe it was just like prominent on like a LimeWire mix CD that I downloaded in the day, but I felt like Innocent Eyes because it was that dramatic.
Da, 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 da. It's like stage school kids can get into it, right?
Yeah.
Also, the lyrics are like very super earnest, isn't it? It's quite autobiographical.
Yeah. Do you remember when you were 7 and the only thing that you wanted to do was show your mum that you could play the piano? And I'm like, I can't even play the piano, but I'm desperate to show Wendy.
It is a bit of a stage school kiddie anthem, isn't it? Do you remember when you were 15 and the kids at school called you a fool because you took the chance to dream?
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe it is a stage school anthem. Who knew? I rewatched it just before this episode. The clip from Neighbours is such a slay. It's like she sits down in her bedroom, all upset. And then she just starts playing the piano and then she goes, do you remember when you were 7 and the only thing that you wanted to do was show your mum that you could play the piano? Like, it's like, I just love any scene that's like dramatically writing
that kind of
this
theatrics
song, you know?
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da.
Speaking of the musical theatre vibes, this music video was directed by Melbourne filmmaker Michael Gracey, who only went on to do The Greatest Showman.
Bloody hell. Where was Delta's invite to be in The Greatest Showman? She could have played any part in that show, including the Hugh Jackman role. I would say the Innocent Eyes music video personally is better than The Greatest Showman.
Ooh.
But hey ho, I said what I said. I'm sure you can find my letterbox review for Good Greatest Showman somewhere. I did not love it. Sorry. But anyway, this music video is gorgeous. It's dramatic. It's got Delta Goodrum behind the scenes in the dressing room before her big show. It's got her reminiscing of when she was 7. And, you know, dreaming of being a pop star, the little girl singing, all
in the
of
mirror,
that.
Yeah.
You know, still do it. I still do it to this day. So young Delta David is played by Morgan Griffin. And did you know that she, Morgan Griffin, played younger Olivia in the Olivia Newton-John Hopelessly Devoted to You biopic, where Delta Goodrum played the older Olivia?
Oh, my God.
So
synergy.
There was that synergy once again in 2018. They worked together once again.
Oh, my God. That's so cute. I love that. And what honor to be like in an Olivia project and a Delta project. Like, yeah. This is like pop royalty, really.
So chart positions for the Innocent Eyes single, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, Australia, number 1. UK, number 9, another top 10 hit single for Delta Goodrum.
Number 1 in Essex, number 1 in Romford.
Number 1 in Essex on the Romford LimeWire charts. 14 in New Zealand and 25 in Ireland. Platinum again in Australia.
Now, JB, Delta did an epic in-store signing around this release in Melbourne, where she was signing CDs for 8 hours. 10,000 people came. So, yeah, this single initially debuted at number 2 in Australia behind Evanescence, Bring Me to Life. But in the third week, it climbed to number 1. So I love that for single number 3, they were like, okay, let's make sure this is another number 1. Like, let's go for it. Let's do the in-store signings. Let's make it really big. And obviously by this point, 2 number 1 singles, the third one has to be number 1. You got to go for it.
Let us know if you were at that in-store signing at Right Back Pod. Do let us know.
Now, after this, JB, in July 2003, we've got some tragic news. At the age of 18, Delta Goodrum was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and she had to put a stop to her work commitments. And she immediately began her treatment. She undertook chemotherapy, which resulted in loss of her hair. And she also undertook radiation therapy. I remember the news of this breaking in Australia, and it was like front page everywhere. It was like national news because it was just so shocking that someone so young, 18, was diagnosed with cancer. But thank God that Delta got through it.
Thank God that she got through it. Yeah, absolutely.
But it was around this time that allegedly there were plans to release the album in the US. Obviously, those plans were cancelled so Delta can focus on her health. And then in August 2003, it's the ARIA Awards, which is our big music awards in Australia.
It's your Grammys, you know, it's your night.
It is our Grammys in Australia. Obviously, goes without saying, Delta was slaying it that year. She was nominated for 13 ARIA Awards.
Wow.
And she won 7 of them. She won Best Female Artist, Single of the Year for Born to Try, ARIA Award for Breakthrough Artist Single, Born to Try, Breakthrough Artist Album, Innocent Eyes, Best Pop Release, Innocent Eyes, an ARIA Award for Highest Selling Single, Born to Try, and also Innocent Eyes, the highest selling album.
Absolute slay. Get it, Delta.
And it was very hit and miss whether Delta could make it to the ARIAs, because obviously she was unwell and she was undergoing treatment. And she did turn up and she was wearing a short wig that sort of styled in a kind of feathered, you know, very Y2K feathered way, very Dido-esque. She looked gorgeous in a beautiful pink dress. And it was just good to see Delta turn up and just have her moment, accept her awards, and just feel the love in the room. As we said before, Darren Hayes performed Lost Without You.
And yeah, just again, thank God she's doing all right now, 20 years on.
And what a fighter. You know, I've listened to a few Delta podcast interview episodes in preparation for this, and she's got such a vibrant, positive attitude, and she just seems like just a good time girl and just someone you just want to be friends with. And what a national treasure.
What an international treasure. So let's move on to September 2003 with the best personal referencing Australian song since Me, Myself and I with No, Not Me, Not I. If you think love is blind, then I will see the flaws between the lines. Surprise that I caught you out every single time that you lied. Did you think that every time I... Now we've got Big Hitters Again, written by Delta Goodrum herself, Cara Diaguardi, Gary Barlow, Elliot Kennedy, and Jared Rogers, who worked with a friend of our podcast, Bryn Christopher, on his single, Smiling, which is the single that has the co-write from Ricky Lee on it.
Young diva Ricky Lee. I love the connection. JB, this is my second favorite song from Innocent Eyes, and I would say this is in my top 3, top 5 favorite Delta songs of all time.
Wow.
I was shook by this. I think this was the single that made me get off my couch, go to HMV and buy the album, because I was like, yeah, I'm not messing about now. Like, this is it.
Yeah. I'll be back in half an hour. Like,
I
need it.
Gotta have it. I love a moody breakup bop. This is so right up my street. And it was rumored at the time, but she confirmed it many years later, that this was inspired by Delta's first major heartbreak. Thanks to her ex, Blair McDonough. I don't know if you know about Blair, but Blair was on Neighbours. So he's a fellow Neighbours co-star. But yeah. Blair actually shot to fame in the very first series of Big Brother Australia. He was a runner-up on that. Yes. So he was already famous from that. And then I remember when he got offered a role in Neighbours, I was like, okay, how convenient. But turns out he's quite good, and he's still a jobbing actor to this day.
Yeah, he's gorgeous, let's be honest. Bloody gorgeous. Hell. Yeah, I remember him.
But he broke out Delta's heart, so we don't like him that much. Yeah, fuck him. Anyway, classy lady, she didn't reveal it at the time. 10 years later, she said that how this song came about was she was working in LA and he was in Australia. And she got a voice note from him, missed call, voicemail. She said, when I woke up, there was a missed call from him. So I listened to the voicemail and it was clearly not for me. It was for someone else. He was saying, hey, come and meet me. And he was in Brisbane and I was in LA.
Oh my God.
And because of the time difference, I couldn't get a hold of him. So Delta had a writing session booked for that day. So she went in, poured her heart out, and yeah, this is how Not Me, Not I, and the next single, Predictable, came about. So yeah, thank you, Blair. We got two number one singles.
Yeah, what a bloody prick. Key's career wishes. If you think love is blind, Blair. Oh,
the lyrics of this song is so good, isn't it?
Absolutely.
If you think love is blind, that I wouldn't see the flaws between the lines. Surprised that I caught you out on every single time you lied. Did you think that every time I see you, I would cry? Not me, not I.
Bum, 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 bum. That's the mix, mega mix we need, the mashup. Don't you think, right, during all this research, I was like, Delta and Nat Bassingthwaite look so similar.
Right.
Both absolutely gorgeous girls, just could be sisters.
I want a kind of like Thelma and Louise-esque movie with both of them.
That would be fabulous. Where
like Nat Bass could be like the kind of drunken auntie going through a divorce, and she takes her niece out for a road trip, and they both kind of like bond and get up to hijinks together. That is the Delta Nat Bass movie I want to see.
I want that. I want that. Brilliant. So this has a fantastic music video, David, doesn't it? And from watching it, I'm just like, give Delta an edgy, big budget fairy tale movie.
Yeah, absolutely. This was directed by Michael Spiccia. I hope I'm saying his name right. It has more of an ethereal fantasy quality to it. And I remember like watching it for the first time on Video Hits, and I was like, ooh, it's kind of got a bit of a Shakespearean quality, would you say?
Yeah.
The whole Delta singing under the moonlight, her staring at her reflection in the pond. There's something very Macbeth-esque.
Yeah. Sort of, yeah, it gave me haunting fairy tale, but that is absolutely, you're absolutely spot on there, Javo, absolutely.
And don't you think she looks a little bit like Taylor Swift in the first shot where she's got the hood, she's walking into the, she's in the field? The hair and the ponytail is giving Taylor Swift.
I feel like Taylor would really like Delta. Like, I feel like they'd get on really well. Like, she needs to include Delta in her girl gang. So on the B-sides of this, David, we have another track here called Right There Waiting. Now, apparently, I'm not sure if the version I heard was an updated version or if it was the demo she recorded at 14. But either way, it sounds so bloody good. It's very sort of light Disney Channel pop rock. So it's right up my street.
Yes. So here in the UK, it was a December release because, as we said, everything is sort of 3 months later for the UK. And it came with two Christmas B-sides. It had Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas and Happy Christmas, War Is Over.
And when this was released in Australia, David, it gave Delta her fourth number one single from this album, which beat Kylie Minogue's record of having the most songs released from an album to reach number one. Number 18 here in the UK, 14 in Scotland, 11 in New Zealand, 25 in Ireland, platinum hit in Australia again. The next month, she follows it up with her first DVD, Delta, the video album. That incorporates all the music videos from this era, including I Don't Care is on here, which is fabulous. And A Year Ago Today, which was previously unreleased, which we spoke about. And we have a ton of Channel V performances on there as well, as well as behind the scenes, Delta in Europe and London. Seems like you get really good bang for your buck. And this was another number one on the DVD charts and the New Zealand DVD charts. So that is absolutely fabulous. We are now in Australia for an Aussie-only single, December 2003. This is my favourite single and track from the whole
I knew
album.
I knew it. This is so JB.
This is
a bit of you.
So, this is Rocky. A bit of me. Rocky. I mean, I think this needs to be on JB too. It is just, it's just a bit of me, and maybe that is predictable.
You're so predictable.
I don't, do you know what? I don't care. Every way I want you to know, I know your game. It's so unbelievable how you never change. You won't get away with loving me. You're just so predictable in every way I want you to know.
A lot of Aussie millennials will remember this song in a very special way. And I could have made this part up, but I believe that this song wasn't meant to be a single, but it became a single as a result of it being performed on Australian Idol. Now, this year was the year of our very first Australian Idol. So the nation was gripped, biggest telly show of the year. There was a very memorable wild card performance by a Perth girly, Cosima DeVito, and she'd done pretty well in the auditions, doing like kind of Celine style ballads, but she didn't get chosen to go into live shows. So when the wild cards round came up and she was put up for that, she did a bit of a vibe switch and she performed Predictable, which for most people, unless you bought the album, you wouldn't know this song. I certainly didn't know this song because I don't think I quite bought the album yet at this time. Actually, Predictable might have been the song that made me buy the album. So my introduction to Predictable was through Cosima DeVito's performance, and she did that so well that not only did I download her live version of that from LimeWire, I went out and bought the Delta album, and she got through to the live shows, and she came third in Australian Idol behind Guy Sebastian, who obviously won, and Shannon Knoll. And a lot of Aussie millennials will tell you that it was one of the most dramatic moments in Aussie TV history when she had to withdraw due to her nodules on her vocals.
So she got right back down to the final.
Yeah. And she had to withdraw. And at the
point, do you think she would have had a chance of winning if she had not had to withdraw?
Quite possibly. Yeah. But it was heartbreaking watching her have to pull out.
Bless her. Wow.
So that's Cosima. And also, thank you, Cosima, because I feel like as a result of her choosing that song, we got Predictable.
What they did was, because unfortunately Delta couldn't make a music video for it at the time, so it was an Australian-only single, and they used a Channel V performance to promote the single. Do you remember seeing that Channel V performance on the TV as a music video?
Yeah, I actually think I remember taping it on my VHS, because I think I told you this, right? In my kind of high school years, I used to put the VHS in, hit record when I'm watching Rage or Video Hits.
Yeah.
Pre-YouTube, you know, that's my way
Absolutely, you've got to do what you got to do, darling.
That's my way of getting music video on demand, to tape it on VHS. But what a song this is, JB. Like, this is co-written by Delta with Cara Diaguardi and Jared Rogers, who we mentioned before, and it's produced by John Fields, who mainly works with rock musicians. So,
like Delta.
Yes. Well, thus the rocky vibes of this.
And I love, there's like a lyric that I miss hearing it every time, you know. I always think it is, I want you to know I know you're gay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be on my version on JB2. I want you to know that I know you're gay.
Now that I know your every move, how you gonna hide, baby? What you gonna do? It could be
Pride Anthem.
Yeah. I love that Predictable got its time, and the fact that it was another number one
smash hit. So what's interestingly, David, is the other B-side on this track is Here I Am, piano cello version. Now, this is kind of a full circle moment, because the B-side to I Don't Care was Here I Am, regular version.
And now she's giving you something different, more of an acoustic, you know, BBC live lounge vibes.
Yeah.
Radio 2 so piano session vibes.
It's kind of like the last single of the album is a subtle nod to I Don't Care by giving you a new version of the I Don't Care B-side. I think
we want to see it as that. But yeah, we all know in this time the erasure of I Don't Care was real.
But I have to say, I do much prefer the original version of Here I Am.
I love the original version of Here I Am.
Yeah, it's a light, breezy, disco-y pop feel, and it's fabulous.
Delta does a dance pop banger that's kind of giving Disney soundtrack anthem. Here I Am, This Is Me. What you see is what you get is what you see. Love it.
I know we've dissected it and we don't think there are, but any of them potentially could have been from an earlier session. Because if you just heard this newer version of Here I Am, piano cello version, you'd have no idea that it had more of a teen pop feel.
Yeah,
before.
It had more of a disco-y vibe, yeah.
So the magic of production, eh? And everything that can be changed.
And a good song's a good song, so you got to use it when you can.
Absolutely. So as we've said, this was a number one smash hit for Delta in Australia. I really hope she sings it on tour. This is the one I will be going off if she does. I know it's like, will she? I know. But it's 20 years of Innocent Eyes. It was a big album here. I'm hoping we'll get a lot of Innocent Eyes on the tour. Is there anything you're particularly hoping she'll sing on this tour, David?
Obviously, Lost Without You, she will do. Not Me, Not I. Predictable. I want these. And also, as I said before, my other favorite Delta song is I Can't Break It to My Heart. I don't know if she'll do that, but we'll see. She has gone on to have so many bops and bangers. Wings. Hello.
What about Dancing with a Broken Heart?
Yes. And Bring Out Steps.
Perfect.
I won't look back tonight. Da, 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 da.
So beyond all the phenomenal success she's had in music, 2005, she had a big cinematic release, Hating Alison Ashley, which I haven't seen yet. And I know you've never seen it either, have you, Dave?
I've never seen it.
We need to have a DVD night. We do. We have to have a DVD night.
We were talking about it over dinner, how we so remember the cover. The poster, yeah. The DVD so, cover.
I want to say, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like in Australia it had like a legit big push at cinemas.
It was part of the promo, yes.
And then, yeah, here in the UK, it was just one I always saw like in the video shop and in the library, just that cover and being like,
wonder what that's
about.
Sounds
like a good trim in a movie. And I never picked it up like the idiot I am. So we've got to watch that. We've got to find it. And then obviously the Olivia biopic. Did we watch that together?
No, I've never watched it. You've watched it.
Oh, of course I've watched it. And then we'll have
Did
to say,
I buy I think you the album?
You bought me the album, David, and I love it.
I was in Australia. I saw it and I said to my brother, I was like, Joel's going to love this. He needs this.
I love that album so much. Delta doing the Olivia covers is stunning. And I might have said it on the podcast before, but when we lived together, the day or the week that album was released, the Delta doing Olivia, I was not working that day. I had the day off. I was just home and I thought I was home alone. So I was singing my heart out. So it was Joel doing Delta doing Olivia, and I was just going for the back row of Sydney Opera House in East London, you know. And then cut to that afternoon, our lovely old flatmate James, his friend left and she was like, bye. And I was like, what?
She had front row seats to that concert the whole time.
And she was like, lovely singing, by the way. I loved the Olivia tracks. And I was like, oh my God. Obviously, thank you for the compliment, but oh my God. I was like, God, I just need a little bit of P&Q, you know. I thought I was having a privé show.
But she ended up having a privé show, yeah.
David, thank you so, so much for thinking that it was time to do a Delta episode. You were absolutely right. Listeners, that you've been waiting for this, I hope you have loved it in delight. I know I've loved it in delight. And maybe this has been a nice return to Delta for you if you've not listened to this album in a long time, these prominent songs, or maybe to our other listeners globally, maybe this is really your intro to Delta, which if that is, I hope you have loved and you've gone to check her out. Regardless, go and see her on tour. Hopefully we'll all be having a good song and dance together at this tour, which I absolutely can't wait for.
Can't wait.
You have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast. You can follow us on all social platforms at Right Back Pod. Hit subscribe, leave us a lovely 5-star review, email our hearts rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can follow me at Dr_Joel B on all platforms, and you can follow him at
@lovelyme.
Until next time, see you at Down Under. Hi, bye. Bye.